Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart.
Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. I'm so glad you're joining us on this Wednesday broadcast. Amazing things are happening. God is doing mighty things, and you are part of that. I'm just so glad that you join us every day for this broadcast. We have been going through kind of a new series talking about faith. You know, the Bible talks a lot about faith. It actually gives us the definition of faith. But before we dive into this story of David and the story of faith, I want to begin by sharing an illustration with you, kind of a cute little story. And there was a flood that was on its way, and it forced everybody to evacuate. And as people were evacuating, the police rode up to this most pious woman of town and said, "Ma'am, you have to leave this house. People are dying out there." Well, the woman replied, "No, I'm not leaving. God has always helped me before, and He will do it again." So as the water started to rise, she went to the second story of her house, and another boat came by, and the captain yelled, "Ma'am, you have to get on this boat, or you're going to drown." The woman replied, "Nah, God helped me before. He will help me again." Well, the water rose even higher. This time, she went to the top of the roof, where a helicopter came down and hovered overhead. The pilot called out on a loudspeaker, "Please climb aboard, ma'am. You're going to drown." The woman sniffled and again replied, "God is going to save me." But the water rose even higher, and as she drowned to her death, she went to heaven, and there she asked God, "Why didn't you save me, O Lord?" And God replied, "I did help. I sent you two boats and a helicopter." Isn't that kind of a cute little story about how God always sends people to help us in our time of need? Well, let's talk about faith. What faith is and how we can live a life of faith. You know, faith can be a noun, it can be a verb, or it can be an adjective. Now, what I'm hoping is that you are living your life in such a way that your faith is a noun. As a matter of fact, it's part of who you are. When we use faith as a verb, it's something that we're using as an action, right? We're putting it into action. Maybe when we get sick, all of a sudden we're going to put into action our faith. Or we use it as an adjective to describe something that is happening in our lives. We talk about the fact that God is trying our faith, for example. But I want to encourage you to be walking in faith and actually becoming a person of faith so that you can become synonymous with the word faith. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 23, Paul is writing and he says, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law. We were imprisoned until the coming of faith would be revealed." What in the world is Paul saying? Paul is telling us here that prior to salvation, we had no faith. Prior to salvation, we were captured under the law. We were imprisoned until faith set us free. So the first exposure that we have to faith is what would be called saving faith that releases us from the bondage of sin. Verse number 24 of Galatians chapter 3, "So then now the law was a guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith." So here we see what a powerful passage this is, learning that we are justified or just as if we never sinned because of faith. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, you have all become sons of God through faith. So here we see that faith is this trigger that begins our salvation. So what a powerful blessing faith is. As you think about the word faith, faith is really expecting the best. You know, it takes no faith at all to expect the worst. We are told that we should expect the best. This is found in Hebrews 11, verse number 1, giving us the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, there is some solid substance to our faith. So faith is not a leap into darkness. It's actually a leap into the light. That's where we find the faith that we need as we base it upon our relationship with Christ. So truth faith is the belief in the reality of an absolute value, the absolute value that is found in Christ. You know, you can have a great strategy, and without execution, it is merely wishful thinking. It is a dream on paper that never translates into real life. You see, no Christian can be a pessimist, for Christianity is a system of radical optimism. We learn from Joshua 1 that Joshua is commanded to be strong, to be courageous, not to be frightened, not to be dismayed, for the Lord was with him wherever he went. You see, pessimistic people, they tend to be people that are driven by weakness. They're not positive, they are pessimistic. I want you to know that when you are a person of faith, you discover God doing abundantly more than you expect in your life. We also learn in Psalm 32, verse number 8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you. I will watch over you. See, when we think about this confidence, faith is that assurance that we have in God, that is, God is in control of my life. He is planning my life. He knows what's best for my life. Why does he do this? Because he loves me. He has a customized, tailor-made plan for my life. You've got to make a choice. You must choose to expect the best. I want to look at the story of David and Goliath, and I know this is a very familiar passage to you, found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, but David learned some things about following God. And he learned that when he followed God and he had faith in God, that was a way in which he honored God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and I'll cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Now, as you look at this, we see that David is trusting God to bring about victory. You know, when you expect God to help you out, it is actually a compliment to God. David is complimenting God. David is honoring God and understanding that whatever God is going to accomplish, God is going to be honored through David. Isn't that an amazing way to live a life? Live your life in such a way that God is going to be honored in everything that you do. It was William Carey who said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. You see, you're never going to attempt great things for God until you expect great things from God. God wants to use us, and he wants us to be in a point where we can honor him in everything that we do. Here's the second thing that we see about David's faith. Not only did his faith honor God, but it also increased his ability. We learn from this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that David reached into his bag and he took out a stone and he slung it and he struck that Philistine right on the forehead. What an amazing story this is. And the Bible continues on by saying that stone, it sunk deep into his forehead and his face fell on the ground. Wow, this is amazing to see how God is using David. David had an increase in his ability because he trusted God. I don't know if any of you have been people who watch boxing matches or watch people like Muhammad Ali when he was fighting, but you know that Muhammad Ali never lost any of his boxing matches until he started to change the way he began to speak. The first two fights that he lost, he began that fight before that fight with this phrase. He said, preceding the fight, if I lose this fight, the first two times he said that, he lost two fights. You see, David was expecting not to miss. David looked at Goliath and he says, it's not that Goliath's too big to hit. Goliath is too big to miss. I am not going to miss him, and I expect that God's going to come through at just the right time. What a powerful lesson we learn from David. In Judges chapter 20, verse number 16, it says, among all those soldiers that there were 700 select troops who were left-handed, each of whom would sling a stone at a hair and not miss. You see, David was well-trained in using that slingshot. That was the modern weaponry used by the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, in Judges, we read about these select troops, 700 of them that were left-handed, and they could sling this stone with such accuracy that it could sever a hair of a person's head. Unbelievable. You know, if you have ever watched Major League Baseball, you know that a pitcher can hurl a baseball around 100 miles an hour. What you may not know is that a good pitcher can also hit a target the size of a dime 66 feet away. When I was playing baseball, I used to challenge people. I says, I can hit a guy wherever you want me to hit him. For years, I was a catcher, and I could tell you which way the ball was spinning. I could tell you even the brand name of that ball when my eyes were a lot sharper and a lot younger. And I could also take that ball, and I could hit a person wherever I wanted to hit him with it. I said, you want me to beat him off the side of the head? I'll beat him off the side of the head. It just came from lots of experience, being taught how to throw a ball, how to position yourself so that you can hit your target every single time. That's how David was in flinging that stone out of that sling. He had tremendous accuracy. How does he have that great accuracy? In part because he believed and expected God to increase his ability. Well, here's the third thing that we learn about faith. Not only does it honor God and not only does it increase my ability, but it also encourages other people. You see, the army of Israel was so discouraged and they were downhearted until David killed Goliath. After David kills Goliath, we read in 1 Samuel 17, verse 52, that the men of Israel and of Judah, they surged forward with a shout and they pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and into the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along all the road to Gath and Ekron. You see, everybody got excited because of the courage of David. You see, optimism is contagious. That's why it's so important that you hang around optimistic people. Don't hang around the naysayers, or you will become a naysayer. You see, so many times we look at life and we hang around people that are always down and always discouraged. So many times we talk about people saying, well, you don't know what I've been through and you don't know how bad my life is. You don't know what I'm facing right now. Listen, you may be facing a giant right now. I don't know about you, but I've discovered in the Christian life that I'm always in one of three places. And you're going to find yourself in always in one of three places. But these one of three places should not get you discouraged. You're always going to be right in the middle of trouble. Or if you're not in the middle of trouble as you're listening to this broadcast, number two, you're getting ready to go in trouble, okay? You're either right in the middle of trouble or getting ready to go into trouble, or you're going to find yourself in that third place just coming out of trouble. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days as the sparks fly upward. Full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Well, David understood the importance of his faith, that it honored God, that it increased his ability, that it encouraged others. When you think about your life, if you will tune into what God is doing and you have the confidence and belief that he can move in your life just like he moved in the life of David, I'm not saying you're going to become a David. You're going to become what God wants you to be. You're going to become the fullest potential of what God wants you to be. When you are facing giants, you can expect to do the best you can if you will do certain things. And let me spend the last several minutes of the broadcast talking about what do I do when I'm facing a giant? How do I respond? Well, number one, tune into God every single morning. Make this part of your habit. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3 says, listen to my voice in the morning. Lord, each morning I will bring my request to you, and I will wait expectantly. Psalm 34, 9, and this is the Message translation. I love how Eugene Patterson puts this paraphrase together. He says, worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all his goodness. You see, the first 15 minutes of your day will determine your attitude throughout the day. So make the most of the early morning hours. Yeah, I think that we by nature, all of us by nature, are pessimistic. When you wake up, a lot of us are like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore, that old gray donkey, stood by the side of the stream, and he looked at himself in the water. Pathetic, he said. That's what it is, pathetic. He turned and walked slowly down the stream for 20 yards, splashed across it, and walked slowly back on the other side. Then he looked at himself in the water again. As I thought, he said, no better from this side. But nobody minds, nobody cares, pathetic, that's what it is. There was a crackling noise in the field behind him, and out came Pooh. Good morning, Eeyore, said Pooh. Good morning, Pooh Bear, said Eeyore gloomily. If it is a good morning, he said, which I doubt, he said. Now, I know, as you're listening to this broadcast, every one of us know an Eeyore. And by the way, if you don't know an Eeyore, guess what? You're an Eeyore. Every one of us have those times when we feel down, we feel grouchy, we feel grumpy. As you get up in the morning, do you say, good Lord, it's morning? Or do you say, good morning, Lord? You see, the choice is yours. You see, when you feel the most sluggish in the morning, that's the time to get up and trust God for big things. So I want to encourage you with some really practical things, right? If you want to get up and spend the first 15 minutes of your day with the Lord, go to bed earlier. You know, it's hard to be optimistic when you're sleep deprived. So set the alarm clock, go to bed earlier, and get the sleep that you need. Another thing that I think will help you as you're getting ready to go to bed at night, don't turn on the news at night and don't turn on the news in the morning. Don't let that be the last thing that you watch at night or the first thing that you watch in the morning. Don't go to bed scrolling through your social media account. Don't go to bed checking all your email. Why? Because you're going to go to bed with a lot of negative in your mind. Somebody said that 90% of the things that we read on social media, 90% is negative. Here's another way that you can get your day off started right. Begin your day worshiping God with good news. You know, listen to some music, get into God's word. That will influence your mood for the day. I have given our church the challenge to go through and read through the devotional Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. If you'd like to have that book, I've got several copies left. I'll be happy to send you that book free of charge. Just write me or email me. You can write me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. I'll get that into the mail to you as fast as I can. Or if it's easy, just pick up the phone. You can call me, 757-421-7500. Just tell me you want the devotional that I mentioned on the broadcast. I'll make sure that you get that. Well, we're talking about how to walk by faith. So we tune in, first of all. And then secondly, we think about God's promises throughout the entire day. Psalm 119:95 says, though the wicked hide along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind on your laws. Hebrews 10:23 tells us that we should hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. As a matter of fact, as you look at the promises of God's word, now I didn't go through and count all these promises, but somebody told me, and it was the Locklear's All the Promises of the Bible, Herbert Locklear's book, said there are 7,000 promises in the Bible. So why don't you just memorize a few of them to cheer you up, okay? Here's a few that I always use to kind of cheer myself up. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God rewards those who earnestly seek him. That is a promise. Are you earnestly seeking God? If you are, he will reward you. Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. You know, as I record this broadcast, we're getting ready to go into the fall of the year. Getting ready to go into September, October, November, the leaves are going to start changing. You know what happens after the fall? We get winter. Yeah, in the winter, everything dies off. And you know what happens after the winter? Spring. And after spring, we have summer. You know, that's a cycle that Genesis 8:22 says that is going to endure. We don't have to worry about that stopping. That's one thing we go to the bank on, that we're going to wake up, the sun's going to rise, and the sun's going to set, the seasons are going to change. God is in control. Now, one day that's going to change, and only when God makes that change. You can go to the bank on that. You can trust God for that. You know what else you can trust God? That he's going to take care of all your needs. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches of Christ Jesus. God is going to take care of it. You see, I want you to know that God keeps his promises. Are you keeping yours? Are you a promise maker? Or are you a promise keeper? Corey Ten Boom said this in an article called Let God's Promises Shine on Your Problems. She says that the scriptures contain many stories of people who waited years or even decades before the Lord's promises came to pass. What modern believers can learn from the patience of biblical saints like Abraham and Joseph and David and Paul is that waiting upon the Lord has its eternal rewards. Well, if you have your faith grow, you've got to tune in to God every morning. You've got to trust God and think about him all day long. And then you got to put your confidence in his love, even when things look bad. You know, if you're listening to me and you have a healthy, strong marriage, one thing you can count on is that your spouse is going to love you in sickness and in health. Your spouse is going to love you in times of wealth and poverty. Your spouse is going to love you. He or she is committed to you. I want you to know you can trust in God's love even when things look bad, especially when things look bad. Psalm 42:11 says this. David is talking to himself, and he says, "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on our face. He's my God." Remember how God helped you in the past? Expect him to do it again and again because he loves you. Here's a fact. We rarely understand why God allows what he does. What I do in those situations. I trust in God's love, even when I can't figure out what is happening. Expecting the best is not this hoping that I have no problems. You will have problems. I'm not asking you to be Pollyanna. I'm asking you to realize that when you do have problems, keep your hope in Christ. It is believing that God knows what is best in my life, and I can trust him to bring about good even out of bad. That's what faith is. In Hebrews 12:10, it says that our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline always brings about good so that we might share in his holiness. Oh, what a great passage that is. Realizing that when God allows the chastening hand to come upon us, even in the middle of that, when we don't always understand it, God says there's a purpose behind this, and I'm trying to make you a holier person. What is the key? The key is looking at my problems from God's perspective. You see, that's what makes the big difference in the world. Psalm 91:14 says, the Lord says, "I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who put their trust in my name." You see, everybody else saw a giant. David, however, saw a mere mortal man defying Almighty God. Well, here's the fourth thing. We talked about tuning in. We talked about trusting him. We talked about talking with him. And we talked about trusting in him in our daily walk. Now I want to talk to you about this matter of sharing him with other believers. In Psalm 119, verse 63, God says, "I am a friend to everyone who fears you, anyone who obeys your commands." Now, as we think about sharing, I'm not talking about gossip. I'm talking about connecting with believers of like mind for the purpose of expanding my faith through encouraging one another. You see, David hung out with positive people of faith. Who do you hang out with? How much positive support does your faith get? You see, you need to associate and fellowship with people who are hopeful, people that are optimistic. You see, the wrong crowd will bring you down. Paul was very clear when he wrote to the Corinthian believers that bad company corrupts good character. Someone once said this, "You can't soar with the eagles if you're running with the turkeys." David wrote in Psalm 1, and this is a powerful, powerful psalm. "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with the mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbed, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in everything that they do, but not the wicked. They are like the worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction." In Hebrews 10:25, we're reminded that we should gather together, meeting together, not neglecting it as some have been in the habit of doing. Now, we do this not just to hear a great sermon. We do this so that we can encourage one another. Paul says, especially now that we see the day of his return coming. In other words, the closer to the return of Christ, the more important it is for us to gather together to encourage one another. You see, everybody's having a hard time. And you thought it was just you. No, everybody's having a hard time. So we gather together to support one another, to encourage one another. There is something about that cord of fellowship as we come together. Solomon put it like this: a cord of one strand is easily broken. A cord of two strands is not so easily broken, but a cord of three strands, who can break it? In other words, if we have each other and the Spirit of God binding us together, we are stronger. As my good friend, old Rick Warren, always likes to say, we're better off together. So thank you for listening today. God bless you.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.